Hello, good day, and welcome back to the Point 99 podcast. Here we are with episode number 2, but what a response you all gave to episode 1. Even though it was a super short edition and I was flying solo without a guest, you all showed up. You gave amazing support and feedback as always. Maybe the key is to keep things short, but that's not going to be the case today. Don't worry, it isn't going to be super long though either. Honestly, it was awesome to see that kind of support. Thank you for sticking with me and coming back for more for season 6. It really does do wonders for the old self-esteem with the amount of feedback and support that you guys gave. Now to today's episode, there's a lot going on. We have a guest, some pre-marathon chat, and some community loving as we used to do in season 5 and before. First time we're doing that this season properly. So let's not waste any time. Let's jump right in. To introduce the show, the Point 99 podcast is a running pod for all runners of all abilities. The show's mission remains steadfast in helping everybody along whatever path their journey might be taking. It might be through relatable guests with their unique and inspiring stories, experiences, and occasional lessons that we can either echo or learn from. Hopefully by sharing these stories with you, you'll feel inspired and motivated to do amazing things, smash goals, and be the best running version of you. The 99's biggest goal, though, is to demonstrate that we are all more alike than we sometimes think, and that through shared conversation, we can all improve, not only as runners, but hopefully as more rounded individuals in our everyday lives. As has become the norm, but for any new listeners, I'm going to start off by running over a bit of community love, some chat about my own running, and then once we're done and dusted with that, we will move on to the chat that I had with this week's guest. With the community and ahead of a few fairly jam-packed weekends of events coming up, there was a slightly less busy weekend on the running calendar last weekend, or at least the Medal Monday content was a little bit sparse on the Insta feed. What there was, however, was a mixed bag of traditional tarmac running, some trail, and ultra eventing as well. Obviously, I'm undoubtedly going to miss people here since the algorithm is amazing at showing you what it wants to show you, but often misses out more recent posts in favour for the popular posts that might have been out for a few days. So Medal Mondays may have been washed out the way by some of the posts from Friday. I don't know. But the ones that we did get, we'll run through those. If we've missed you, let me know. I will always add people in later episodes. I want to shout as many people as possible and show the amazing things that people are getting up to. Kicking things off with one of the more popular events over the feed, though, and we have the Cumbernauld 10K. Although I suspect there were more than just the familiar faces I'm about to run through, it seems to be a bit of a social circle check for our pals as we shout out firstly Stuart runs a lot, that he does, Stuart Rowan, ahead of his journey north for the Loch Ness Marathon a week on Sunday. A little bit more about that and Stuart in a moment. Fellow podcast host though, an all-round legend, Big Bob, the Kilsyth runner, Buddle, was down strutting his stuff as well. Bob actually gave a really good digest of the event and his running at the event over on the Insta Runners Roundup podcast from earlier this week. So if you haven't listened to that, I would recommend popping over and seeing what the guys were getting up to and their chat as a whole. The man who is getting taller by the day in his preparation for Chicago, that's the Chicago Marathon, Ryan Miller, Scottish underscore runner, was along himself, having stepped in to take a space that had become available at the last minute. Even though he was erring on the side of caution, listening to the recommendations and suggestions given to him, he still absolutely flew around the course and looked to have a great time of it. We then have a good show of club mates of both Stuart and Ryan's from the Newton Roadrunners, who joined forces with the Mount Vernon Runners to undertake some pacer duties, including Natalie Hunter, the positive pacer, and Ben Fullerton, Mr. Mount Vernon himself. Like I say, there are more than likely a lot of faces that I've missed from the day. Let me know. I will add you. If not, I can give you a shout out on the stories or something. Over the pond, we have our lovely Queen of the Wiggle, TJ the Hot Chocolate Runner. She was smashing her first double-digit run in a while, having had a mixture of injury and uncertainty with running, but she got the green light and she smashed the LMCU Bridge Run 10 miler, and I'm happy to say she was still smiling by the end of it, so she obviously enjoyed that one. The two final observations I saw from the feed, we have Jim Jen 2020, who is at the Dunoon Ultra, cruising into 10th female after 55 kilometres, or in silly people chat, 33 miles. From the general gist of things and having looked at the event as well, it actually looked to be one of those events that had a great community vibe and feel about it. So that's maybe one to look out for if you're a bit of an ultra nut or you're looking for events in and around that region of mileage to pop along to. So that's the Dunoon Ultra Marathon, one to watch there. And finally, our friend and previous guest, Serena Broadway, was down at the Salomon Skyline 27K. It was a mixture of stunning views and her signature smile, even though from the photos, it looked like absolutely disgusting weather for the event. But as I say, she was still smiling. She was delighted to catch up with so many people that she knew, a bit of a kind of love fest social outing for her. So once again, congratulations to everyone for all the events, even if I didn't shout them out. I do want to know more though, so if you do have any events coming up, let me know in advance of an episode coming out. I will get you on there and we will shout out some events and shout out the things that you're doing. This weekend coming, it's a bit of a mixed bag itself as well, but I suspect there's going to be a good number of familiar faces treading the mean streets of the central belt of Scotland, especially between both the men's and women's 10K that are taking place in Edinburgh, as well as the Kelpies Half Marathon that's taking place in and around Falkirk, I think that is. I'll keep my eyes peeled for as many post-race posts as I can from the feed. And as I say, remember, you can always get in contact and let me know where you were, what you were getting up to. Even if it was just a park run or you were out smashing a long run, the inbox is always open and welcoming for these sorts of messages. For myself, some pre-marathon chat and something that will be a lot more prominent in the next episode. We're not that far away though from the Baxter's Loch Ness Marathon, which is going to be my only marathon of the year, not including ultra distance, just marathon as in 42 kilometres, 26.2 miles, that side of things. I've definitely got a good mix of apprehension, excited nerves, but also I've got a burning desire to push myself a little bit closer to a PB once again this year. I will be accompanied by Stuart Rowan, as mentioned. I'm not sure with Stuart, it's more going to be a social paced affair for him, I think, because he has had an injury. He's coming back with recovery, although the strides he's been making recently, I wouldn't write him off being able to be my wingman for a lot of the run, if not all of it. We'll see how he feels on the day. I wouldn't want to put him in any position where he feels uncomfortable though. However, he does have it in him to guide me to a phenomenal time that beats my PB after the time that he got in Italy. And from the photos that he shared of that, he looked like he was cruising. I think he's got a lot more in him myself. Again, not to put pressure on him, but it could be really good to have a nice social run. And we all know how good a social run can be in distracting you to all the niggles. You don't really think about them. They don't really bother you. And time just flies by. But if he's not up to it, then I will potentially cover some of the distance with him and then maybe put the foot down. We'll just wait and see how it goes on the day. That's by the by though. It will be what it will be. I've personally done my last long run of a non-existent block, just because work and life have really put the brakes on getting any real structure in place this time around. I've just enjoyed myself. I've got out when I can, done some pretty long runs, obviously had a phenomenal time at Loch Ness 24 and did way more than I thought possible there. I still feel strong. So as I say, we'll have to see what happens come a week on Saturday, week on Saturday with registration. Just buy our time, really. That being said, the run from Sunday just passed, it was a 26 kilometer marathon paced effort. I am delighted to say that I felt really comfortable at a 4:48 per kilometer average. I'm not really known for keeping a steady pace. I'm a bit up and down. But that run in itself had very little variation on the data once you look at the run on both Garmin and Strava. Even the heart rate was fairly steady, only picking up a little around the end of the run. Mixture of moderate tempo, zone 2 heart rates. I think, though, that whenever you come to the end of a run and you know you're coming to that sort of terminus, you're getting on the home straight, you maybe up the gear a little bit. And by the time you've run that sort of distance, your heart rate does tend to build a little bit. Like I say, I am feeling strong. I think I'm ready. But as I've been saying all along, and as I've said already in this episode, it will be what it will be. I've learned a lot of lessons on how to handle things before and after a marathon now, or at least I would like to think I have. So even if the plan doesn't go ahead, I'll put on a brave face and we'll just smile and move on to the next event. But fingers crossed, it all goes well. Other than myself and Stuart, we know that the Team Alexis Rose guys are going to be down at the event as well. They've got a whole squad of folks, apparently. Some I'm familiar with, others it will be great to connect with for the first time, but overall it will be a pleasure to meet the guys from Alexis Rose. They've invited me to a few drinks and a meal the night before. I'm actually going out with a few other friends, but I'm going to pop along, show face, meet and greet, and hopefully get those connections and wish everyone all the best. Finally, though, we do also have friends to the pod, Peter. NC Runs, I think the rest of her handle is. It will be great, hopefully, to finally meet her in person, as well as once again meeting a guest from last season, Ultra Fran, who I believe is still going to be in attendance. And we might be able to convince both those ladies to join us on the bus down to the start line for some pre-race banter and distraction, because there's nothing worse than sitting on a bus to go to a start line, getting in your own head and potentially ruining your run. But I think along with Si Stewart, I think we'll be fine. We'll just distract ourselves, get a bit of banter, as I say, and just talk about other things. And then come the start line, we'll be what we'll be, like I've already said. From distraction, though, to action. And our guest for this week, it's the first of the season, but it's not a first-time appearance for the person in question. It's a pleasure to welcome them once again to have a chat without the influence of social media or comparison, and especially no egos. The ego has been left at the door. Just a genuine everyday running chat on the road to self-improvement. Let's jump over and find out who we're welcoming back and how things have been going for them. For the first guest of the season, we have the pleasure of welcoming back a familiar face, more so for myself, as he's a real life friend and long-term sufferer of my banter, but he's also a returning guest, having featured in season 2's 5th episode. After some downtime from his introduction to running and success in reaching his initial goal, he took a little bit of a break, but he's now back and more driven than ever. But let's hear from the man himself to get a bit more of an update on how life as a runner has been going, for the definition of an everyday runner, no social media, what he's achieved since he's come back and where he sees things going. It's my good pal, Chris Murphy. How's it going, Chris?
Good, thanks. Good. So far, at least.
Well, you say so far. You've been taking the Michael recently about not being injured, and then you've gone and got yourself a little injury, but we'll get to that.
Yeah,
we'll get to that. So last year we had you on, was it just after or round about the time of your first introduction into running, round about the Edinburgh Marathon? Is that about right?
Yeah, I think it was about then. I think it was just before.
Just before, yeah. So I was injured. We took the opportunity in my return on slower paces to get you out. How did that go?
I really enjoyed it. It was great. the biggest challenge I had was definitely just finding time for it with everything else that was going on. Because, yeah, the times we were running, it was fine, but I had to move things around, and then I would be busy for a few hours post-run as well. So it was really good and enjoyed it. But I think that time pressure was part of the reason why I ended up falling off the wagon, as it were.
Yeah, so that was what I was going to mention. You've taken a bit of a break. I think it was ultimately after we got you your goal. I think we covered this last time, we covered it on the show. But for anyone that might not have heard your episode or the results of what we were doing, you were aiming towards the 5K over, I can't remember how many weeks, and we were making incremental increases, and there was one day, it was meant to be like what, an hour session, and you said, oh, can we not just go for a little bit longer? And that was the day you got 5K, but you absolutely were blown by the end of it.
Yeah. No, it was really good. I think we'd done it over 7 weeks. Either 7 or 8. It went really well. I don't know if it went better or worse than I expected. I tried not to really have any expectation about it. But it was really positive. I enjoyed it a lot. And I just seem to remember really enjoying it, and it not being as difficult as I anticipated. I thought it would be a bit more grueling at times, trying to push through things. But no, it ended up being a bit easier than I thought, maybe.
Yeah, because you don't really, you're not like myself, you don't really have a kind of sporting background in a way. I obviously came from cycling and self-motivated into running, a lot of athletics at school. You really didn't do that. You were kind of a bit of a kick around, and that was more or less it. So like, unlike a lot of our guests and a lot of the guests that kind of feature on a lot of the running podcasts, you don't really have that mold of being a COVID runner. It is really just you took the opportunity because I was doing it and you knew I was coming back, and I think you were mentioning couch to 5K. Yeah. It kind of all just fell into place. But then, as you say, you fell off the wagon a little bit because time commitments and such, because we were running at the end of the day, which is usually my go-to time. That works for me, but it doesn't necessarily work for you. So that was about a year ago, and about 2 months ago, was it? 2-3 months ago, out of the blue.
Yeah.
Up pops Strava. Chris Murphy's done his first run for a while. Give him some kudos. Where did that come from?
I'm really good at making plans for things, but I assume most people will be familiar. There's a thing in like psychology where the act of making plans and telling it to people kind of gives you that dopamine hit, and then it kind of kills the incentive to actually follow through on it. So I'd been playing with it in my mind for a little while that I wanted to get back into it. I've got a holiday coming up soon, and I started losing weight for it again, similar to what we were doing last year, or what I was doing last year. And I figured that, you know, I'm doing this anyway. If I start the running again, now's as good a time as any, and it will help make my other goals a bit more easy to achieve as well. And so far, it's been working fantastic.
Been pretty consistent in a bit of a change to last time though, and you mentioned the time commitment. You have found a time that works better for you. Has that helped you keep the commitment the motivation going for this time?
Yeah, it has. I actually think, off the top of my head, there's only been one occasion where I've actually decided not to, just because I couldn't be bothered. But I've been getting up at either 5 or 5:30 in the morning to go and do it.
Disgusting.
I know. But it kind of works for me because it forces me to go to bed a little bit earlier. I'm really bad for staying up way longer than I should be. So it kind of forces my hand and forces me to go to bed at a somewhat reasonable time. And then it also makes sure that I've been up in plenty of time to go for the run, come back, get myself sorted, take care of the dog or anything else that needs done around the house, and then sort of get myself prepped and ready for work as well, rather than sort of just rolling out of bed 20 minutes before I start my shift and then still being half asleep when I start work. So it's kind of worked out really well. And yeah, I wouldn't have been able to, I don't think I would have been able to fold it into everything else that I've got going on if I was trying to do it at lunchtime or another time during the day, because while I have the time later in the day, my partner doesn't really, and she often gets home from work at like 7, half 7, so that's when we tend to start doing dinner and doing things around the house and everything. So yeah, just doing it first thing in the morning was yeah, really, really good.
Yeah, building it into your daily routine has helped your actual routine and consistency with getting out. I think before I really noticed, I obviously noticed that you'd been on Strava, and it was about 2 or 3 weeks had gone by, and you were consistently out every other day, kind of similar to myself, and then taking a few rest days. It's really positive to see that because you, other than the odd park run where I've actually managed to convince you to come down, I think we've done two now on Pacer Week to kind of really push you a little bit. You've been consistent as self-motivated solo runner in the mornings, like you say. When it comes to being a solo runner and self-motivating, how have you found that with encouraging yourself to go a little bit further? I know times don't matter, but your times have been dropping pretty much every run while you've been out. You've been getting PBs left, right, and center. How have you stayed motivated? It's really just down to self-progression.
Motivation is really weird. I suppose it is motivation in a way, but every morning when I wake up, I'm not really giving myself the opportunity to decide to do anything else. Like I just kind of get up, and while I'm still trying to wake up, I'm already getting ready to go. And by the time I'm with it enough to decide if I actually want to do it or not, I'm already out the door. So I kind of took the decision out of my own hands in a way, which sometimes just I need to do for myself. Sometimes that's what I find works for me. And yeah, for the motivation in general, it's been finding a way to fit it into everything else that I've got going on. So obviously, I mentioned that I was looking to lose weight again in the year. In the year gap that I've had since we were running, I'd put a lot of weight back on again, probably even more than I was at initially. And I set myself a pretty aggressive goal in terms of losing the weight. And that's been quite difficult to stick to, for a few different reasons. But the running sort of helped with that as well. So it's just been about finding the right time to do it and making sure that it sort of builds towards everything else that I'm trying to do. And that's what makes it easy to stay motivated for me.
You have done quite a bit since last year's semi Couch to 5K and going the 5K. You've come back. I think you kind of dabbled with 3K for the first couple of runs. And then you've gone through 5K, 8K. And I think one of your last runs was 10K. But you mentioned to me the night before you were going, one of the routes I'd been taking, you asked about that. And the next thing I know, you're off you go and you've done 10K.
Mm-hmm.
Have you found that change of distance easy enough now that you're finding a routine and you're dropping a little bit of weight? Or was that a bit of a struggle to kind of push yourself to go that distance? Because 10K is not to be shrugged at. It's one step closer to becoming a crackhead marathon runner. But it's certainly not an easy distance to get your head around as an early day, everyday runner.
Yeah, it's been it's just been about steady progression more than anything else. With one of my main goals that I've got going on just now being losing weight, I'm invested in increasing the pace and things like that. Of course, in this case, smaller number better, but. The main thing that's going to really help with me losing weight and everything is just running for longer. And inevitably that means further. So I wasn't really sure how to get back into it at first. So I decided that, well, why not do what worked for me before? So I kind of pulled up our old sort of workouts that we had done last year. And I thought, well, there's no better place to start than there. So we just started from there, went through all the redone everything that we done. And then after that ended, I just decided, okay, well, I don't know if I really want to have a planned workout as such. So I've just decided to just go for it and see how I feel in the moment. So there's only been 2 or 3 days, I think, where I've ended up running less distance than I had really set out to do. There's been a fair few more days where I've went further than I thought that I would. And a lot of it's just been done off of how I feel. So you were talking about the 10K, and that was really because I had done the 8K the week before. And then I think I'd done a shorter run after that. And I remember finishing the 8K and feeling, I was tired. But I felt I was pretty sure that if I had lowered the pace just a little bit, I would have been able to extend that out a good chunk further. And then between that and knowing the route that you went, a significant portion of that route is quite enjoyable, I think, at least for me anyway. I enjoyed it, and I think you do as well.
Yeah.
I knew that the middle part is always the part where I think to myself, you know, am I actually going to run this whole distance? Am I going to get tired and have to stop? Have I aimed a bit too high? But no, that run was perfect. I felt great the whole way. I finished. I stopped at the 10K. I could have went a little bit further, but I'd kind of put myself into a corner with the route. I was at the end of the route, and I ended up having to do a little loop at the end just to get the 10K. But I probably could have went a little bit further, but I thought, no, you know, it's far enough. So I just,
and it's the first time, it was the first time as well. There's no point overdoing it or cooking it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I had done what I wanted to do for that day. I was really, really chuffed with it. And there was another run I'd done just before that as well, where I decided to do I'd been doing 6 or 7K. And I decided to have a push at 5K, and I got down below the 35-minute mark, which I didn't think I would actually do, but I done it, and it didn't struggle as much as I thought I was gonna. So it's been really positive recently, sans the last week or so.
You've certainly, by the sounds of it, been listening to your body it's probably one of the hardest lessons that a lot of us will learn. Something even fairly recently I wasn't doing. It's you're wanting to go all the time. Every run doesn't have to be a PB. In your case, it tends to be a PB because you're really on your early stages. And as you start losing weight and get used to the distances and, like you say, more time on feet, the further you go, the easier it gets. If you're listening to your body and you're dropping the paces, it's just going to keep on coming. Unfortunately, not long after the 10K, it might actually be the same day.
It was the same day, yeah.
It was the same day. You picked up a wee injury, though, so you haven't really been out since.
No.
Can you give a kind of an update on what you've really been suffering with and your kind of thoughts on when you might get back out again?
Yeah, I finished that 10K and I went back home and got ready to start my shift for work as I do. And at lunchtime, I've pulled something in my foot, and it wasn't immediately obvious I had done it, but probably later on toward the evening, I noticed that it was quite actually getting a bit painful to stand on it. And it just kind of kicked around for longer than I thought. I thought it would be like, oh, I've just pulled something, it'll probably be sore for a day or two and then go away. But it's ended up being closer to almost 2 weeks now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it wasn't sore enough that it was like, you know, if I was to measure it in terms of pain, it was more uncomfortable than straight up sore, but I knew that I didn't want to aggravate it. So rather than be stupid and go out for another run, I just decided, you know, well, let's do the sensible thing and just leave it until I'm definitely okay. So as I mentioned to you before we started this, I've been feeling, I've not had any discomfort or anything for the last 2, maybe 3 days. So I think the plan is to resume running again on Monday and just try, maybe not necessarily pick up where I left off, but I'll probably want to do at least a 5K.
Take a couple of steps back a little bit, and if it still feels uncomfortable, reassess. A normal person listening might go, why don't you go to the doctors? But just for a bit of context where we live, the doctor surgery is a bit of a show of it. There is really non-existent. You can't really get much medical care unless you go to A&E, which is a good 40 minutes away. So you kind of have to self-diagnose and hope for the best. You do have, as you said, the holiday coming up, though. So you're less inclined to push yourself just now. Maybe take the opportunity to give yourself a little bit extra time, 2 weeks in the Dominican Republic. Enjoy the pool, enjoy the relaxation, use the sand to really balance your feet out again, and then potentially try a run while you're there, or wait till you come back. Is that maybe more of an option as well, though?
Yeah, for sure. I was really, in the run-up to the holiday, I was really looking forward to seeing how far I could push things and what I could have, like, the last week or two in particular look like. So it's been a bit disappointing in that regard. I'll probably need to cool it a little bit. But, while we're there, I've not ruled out going for a run or two on the beach or either in the gym they've got. But I'll probably end up doing the same thing that I've done up to this point, and that's just a case of seeing how I feel at the time. I've definitely been doing it long enough now that when I don't do it, I kind of almost miss it. Don't know if I would actually say that I definitely miss it, but yeah. It feels more like a missed opportunity than anything else, right? And I guess I'll see how I feel while I'm out there. I've not actually had a run up a beach yet, so I might do it just to see how much it sucks or how much it doesn't suck. I'm assuming it's going to suck, but also be nice at the same time. So
yeah.
Mixed. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, definitely. The endorphins do hit differently to what our usual endorphins. Gaming hits differently to running. Certainly, though, running on a beach is tough. It's probably one of the harder surfaces to run on, if not the hardest surface to run on, but you'll come away, if your foot holds up to it, enjoying it. If you want to run around the compound, though, because Chris is going to the place that I went with my wife and a few other friends a few years back, and it's a place that he's been before. He's returning to a scene of a crime where he became a literal lobster man. So the compound's changed a little bit since you were there last, and there's opportunities to run. And if you're an early morning runner, certainly the temperatures are going to be a lot lower, probably more manageable than when I was going out running there. But it's also a good way to burn off the cocktails and the Ron punch. When you do get back from holiday and you get back to your routine and the progression, what's on the cards for you? Are you going to potentially look at events or just kind of just stick to seeing how things go, maybe double the 10K distance and try your hand at a half marathon? Or is it really just wait and see, to decide on the day and just take things as they come?
I don't know. I think you're a bad influence. That message you sent me, you said, are you up for maybe doing just a little bit extra? And then he's like, okay, well, we'll sign you up to the half marathon. I don't know. I've been so focused on getting everything put aside and nailed in place for the holiday that I've not really had a lot of time to think about what I want to do post holiday. But I think the one thing I'll always stick with at this point now is I'll probably just see how I feel. Which seems like a cop-out response because I say that for a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But it's worked for me so far. I'm definitely keen to, if not extend the distance I'm running, certainly make the 10K distance more regular than it being, you know, every now and then. I certainly have the time for it in the mornings. I've managed to carve that out. So again, if I was to do a load of shorter runs, while they would be enjoyable and they're still definitely, you know, I recognize that they're still good and it's better than not running. Again, there'll still be a little part of me that feels like it's a wasted opportunity. You know, why did I stop at 5K when I could have made it a longer run? It's good for me in more ways doing that. So at least I'm trying to keep a more pragmatic approach to it at the moment. So provided my body doesn't feel like there's any issues, then I'll probably keep trying to push the distance a little bit. So yeah, possibly start signing up for some events and doing some longer stuff, and then, you know, I can actually have something to complain about in the future.
Watch this. You're going to be like a filthy, dirty ultra runner. Sign up for that straight away. Not do any event. Just go the distance and then be like, yeah, what was so hard about that?
I mean, I've also been doing the typical thing that I do, and that's to learn everything the hard way. So, you know, and I'm not advocating this approach at all. I will learn the hard way sooner or later, but you know, with regard to like warming up, cooling down and everything, I've been very lazy with that, and I've managed to get away with this so far. So yeah, I don't know, maybe the issue with the foot I picked up was karma for that. Maybe I should be a bit more serious about that.
Stretching, what's stretching? Honestly, I think I've mentioned this on the show before. Anytime I stretch, I tend to injure myself. So I never stretch before a run because I take it easy, I build into it, warm up is enough. I never stretch after a run because I'm lazy and I want to get onto other things. And so far, again, touch wood, it has been okay for me. The trouble I've had is because I didn't stretch, I then had tight muscles and it's had a knock-on effect elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Again, touch wood, it's only been really the once. So you might be lucky. You might, once the foot's out of the way, that might just be an imbalance. We don't know. As you say, you don't know what's going on there. We'll just have to see how you get on.
Yeah, I think for the most part, I just need to make sure that, like you said, that's what I've been doing. I've been sort of not just starting the run immediately as soon as I get out the front door. I've been walking somewhere and then starting. And walking at a faster pace than I normally would, just so that I'm starting to get things going. And then I've been trying to do the same on the way back as well. So I don't know. I think that's maybe the one thing that saves me, rather than just, you know, immediately stopping and then going to sit for 4 hours to do my work.
I did want to make that when we started last year, I did want to make sure that you did what I don't do, and a brisk walk before you start running is always going to be better than just running from the cold. Do as I say, not as I do, effectively.
I think that's the great thing about it, though, because, you know, you can do what works for you.
Yeah.
You know, I might decide further down the line, after I've lost a bunch more weight and everything else, that the stretching and everything is something that I want to incorporate. But for now, I feel like I'm in a good place, and although I'm making a lot of progress in the runs and everything else, I am pretty shattered by the end of it. So kind of, I don't know if you feel the same, maybe other people feel the same, but the last thing I want to do when I finish running is go spend the next however many minutes going and stretching, right? I want to be done with the exercise.
Yeah.
I've done the hard work, now let it stop.
Yeah, definitely. That's where I'm coming from too. I just can't see the point in it, but I know there's a point in it. I just don't think very many people that listen to this even do it either. So
again, you're going to learn the hard way, right? I'll be an advocate for it if you give me long enough. I think that's what will happen.
You mentioned there as well, I'm not going to ask how much weight you've lost, but have you seen a kind of steady loss so far? Has that been a big encouragement as well?
Yeah, definitely. I don't mind saying I think the last time I weighed myself, it's been 2 or 3 days. But last time I checked, I'm down about 30 pounds, 31 pounds, nice, give or take. Sweet. So I have a bunch more to go. And one thing that's been really easy about it is just imagining how easy these runs would be if I had another 50 pounds less than what I am right now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking about how hard these runs are and how much effort it'd take and everything else. And then, yeah, but how easy would it be if I had 50 pounds less to lug around while doing it? So it's been easy for me to stay motivated in that regard. And the running's definitely helped, because with the calorie deficit going on, it's, like I mentioned before, it's been pretty, I wouldn't use the word extreme or anything like that, but I've been sticking to a budget of about 1,400 calories a day, which has been quite difficult to do, because the way I tend to eat through the day is kind of the polar opposite from what my partner does. She tends to have most of her food after she's finished work in the evening, whereas I'm doing shakes and stuff like that after I finish my run in the morning. So It's been challenging to stay within that budget, but the running's helped make it doable, just by having that extra workout banked to fall back on the days that, for whatever reason, I've not stuck to it, whether it's been my own lack of discipline, or whether it's just been, you know, situations as they happen. It's been really good. It's working really well, and I don't really see it changing much for the next while, at least.
It might get a little bit tougher running after the holiday, you know, that holiday weight. I know how good the food is there.
Well, you see, to go back to why I started, when I started as well, I started running again at the start of June, because as I was doing some reading, I read a few different seemingly reputable people comment that the weight loss sort of plateaus after 2 to 3 months, as your body sort of adapts and gets used to it. And they recommend going through a little period where you change things up again. Mm-hmm. So that sounded like a good excuse to start then, and then just to go on holiday and do whatever I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that all sounds good. I mean, you're doing all the right things, and you're doing it because you want to do it. You're not doing it because I'm pressuring you to do it. The only pressure I've kind of put on you is get your arse down to parkrun, because you literally live across from the start line. I'm bad for not going, and I'm a kilometer or so away. You're literally within eyesight of it. But fingers crossed when you get back, and all being well with the foot, we'll get you down, especially for pacer week, because it is a good indicator for how you're getting on.
Yeah, it was. I really enjoyed it when we did do it, and it's definitely been a bit odd, because there's been one or two Saturdays where I've went out for a run, and I've when I finished my run, I've went back up the park, park run start area, and everyone's just getting set up. So it feels, I don't know, it feels kind of weird. It feels like I almost cheated on them.
Yeah,
but yeah, keen for more.
It's later in the day than you're used to.
yeah.
Now, fingers crossed, we'll get you back down and get you smashing it.
Maybe slide a cheeky half marathon in there as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past you. I really wouldn't put it past you, just like logging into Strava one day and seeing that you'd done a half marathon, or even, as I say, a filthy ultra. Do you have any goals in mind, though, like time-wise, before we kind of end the chat? Do you have like a 5K time that you want to achieve? Is there like a 10K time that you would want to achieve? Or again, is that not really in the equation at the moment while you're doing weight loss and that side of things?
I have thought about what it would be like to have different times set and everything, but it's sheer fantasy at this point in time. You know, I'm sitting there daydreaming, what if I could do a 5K in 20 minutes? That sounds good. That sounds really good.
I'm not even regularly hitting that.
Yeah, exactly. So no, it's sheer fantasy. I think, I think it's one of those things that although I've been hitting PBs and everything else, I still don't really expect to be hitting PBs every time I go out. I'm quite happy for it to kind of just happen and kind of sneak up on me almost.
Yeah.
That one 5K that I did actually push on and got below 35, that's really been the only run where I actually set out with a plan to actually do something time specific. So the rest of the time it's mostly been trying to run it whatever pace my body's comfortable with, and depending on the distance that I'm running, I find a few different paces that are kind of working for me just now. So every now and then I'll try and switch it up a little bit and just push the pace just a little bit, but only maybe 5-10 seconds per kilometer, just to see how things are. I think that'll probably change slowly over time, but hopefully it'll get to the point where it's more doing the sort of pace that you're doing. That's what I would like to do at some point, but for now I'm quite content just to let it happen on its own.
Then it's the real question of, do I get my backside out of bed early and run with you, or do we try and mix it up and take turns?
this time next year, you can't have me showing you up now, okay?
I mean, this time next year, I'll be used to early mornings.
Well, yeah, that is true. That is true.
And by that point, I might not have run so much. So maybe I'm going to put on a few pounds and be needing to lose a few. So
get that dad bod.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a good point, a time though to draw a line. But it's been good to get you back on, man. I know we speak every day.
Yeah, it's been good.
Don't tend to talk about running too much because we're utter nerds and talk about other things. But I just think it's good to get you back on and just show people that you're not on social media, you're not sharing your story for anything other than sharing it here for kind of showing people that they can do it, and self-motivation can be achieved. You don't have to look at someone else and go, oh, just because they're doing it, I must be doing it. It's just have your goal in mind, what you want to achieve, and just do things for yourself.
Yeah, I definitely think that seeing you do what you've done and everything you've achieved definitely helped motivate me. Mm-hmm. But I've never really felt the need to put out there what I'm doing. So I'm not really doing it for anybody else's benefit. You know, I'm doing it for my benefit. And again, the pragmatic side of me is, you know, I don't really have anything to gain by sharing it with everybody. And in a way, that would almost be more effort than would be worth for me, you know, because it's something else for me to do, something else for me to maintain. I don't want to start doing it and then stop doing it. And I also don't want it to feel like it's become a chore, which I know is something that a lot of social media and content creation or a lot of people involved in those areas struggle
it
with.
It can be, yeah.
So I just decided early on not to entertain the idea, not to make it a thing for me. But if anybody is listening and wondering, you know, there's definitely people out there that are doing that are going on these journeys and making these things work and putting in the effort, even if you don't necessarily see it being advertised places.
Mm-hmm. But it definitely works for there's a lot of people like me that get the extra bonus from sharing it because that's mm-hmm. the way we're wired. But there's people like you that are wired differently in mm-hmm. many different ways. but no, as I say, it's been great having you back on, man. I wouldn't write it off having you back on again. Once you've got a nice wooden ultra medal. But yeah, we'll wait and see how that goes on. But
is that going to be the requirement now? If I want to come back on, I need to play.
You're going to do something daft. I know you are. And that's going to be the prerequisite.
It'll be entirely unannounced as well. You know, it'll just happen, right?
Yeah, exactly. I know what you're like. Cool. Well, thank you again for coming on. And we'll chat in a few hours' time and be doing something else. So,
it's been really good. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Enjoy the holiday. Look after the foot. And we'll let the people know how you're getting on.
Perfect. Thank you.
I have the absolute pleasure of speaking to Chris most nights, I would say. But it has been really motivating to see his progress under his own steam at his own pace. I won't lie, I was a little bit disappointed when he stopped running after our initial training sessions in advance of my running of the Edinburgh Marathon last year. I took the opportunity while coming back from injury to run at a slightly reduced pace, at more of his pace, and encouraged him to get out. And he seemed to really enjoy it. But then as soon as I stopped running with him, like we covered in the interview, he just stopped. But when you see Strava throw up the first run in nearly a year and the subsequent consistency that he's had with running, the progress he's putting in, the effort, the goals that he's smashing, you definitely have this warm sense of pride in your friend for making positive steps off their own back. Hopefully after he's recovered with both his foot and when he's recovered from his holiday, I'll get him out once again to a monthly park run to pace a week to see how his progress is getting on. Hopefully he'll be motivated to get back out and keep up the momentum building for health, mind and body. On the road to wrap up though then, thank you as always for joining me today, downloading or streaming the podcast. It's been a delight as always to get this one recorded for y'all. If you enjoy the pod and would like to show your support, you can do that by sharing it, most importantly on your stories, or if you want to show your physical support, you can purchase one of our original t-shirts from our merchandise partners over at Twisted Running. Now, after announcing last week that we had a pre-order up for the new t-shirt, it's not up yet. Unfortunately, the guys are really busy, so I don't like to put pressure on them to get our stuff up because they do have better selling products. Hopefully it will be up soon though, so stay tuned with socials, follow Twisted as well. I'm sure they'll announce when the pre-order's up. When the time comes, I will put something up on the stories. But if you still want to have a look at what they're doing, pop over to the Twisted Running's website, either from the link on their Instagram from Google, or we have a link on our website, thepoint99podcast.com. You get more information there as well. The show is available on all major podcast platforms, on our website via an inbuilt player, on the episodes page, and on YouTube as well. So if you want to catch the YouTube podcast or the YouTube video itself, both are up there and are digestible by everyone. Finally, you can follow us on Instagram by searching for The Point 99 Podcast. If you want to get in contact, you can drop us a DM there or email me at thepoint99podcast@gmail.com. You can also find me at my own accounts, Mr_Steve_runs for running content, or I'm_Mr_Steve for anything else that I'm getting up to. Keep an eye on socials to find out who I have the pleasure of welcoming in episode number 3. I suspect a few of you might recognize her voice from the telly box, but we'll wait and see. Until then, though, I hope you stay safe, enjoy your runs, and you will hear from me soon.